You might say that I'm a man with a plan. I like to have things planned out and to know what's going to be coming next. You know, we've got our pieces of paper here with the order of service so that we know what song's next and when I'm up with the sermon. But no, that's just a little plan. I like to plan things out and know what's going to be coming ahead as far as I possibly can. And, you know, that kind of fits with Advent because it's a time of preparation where we put our plans together, where we make plans for things that are going to be coming up. And, well, just this week I was talking with a friend of mine in the United States. He is the associate pastor at a church. He is responsible for the music and the youth, and a different guy is the preacher there. And he told me that he and the preacher have planned out the services for Christmas and New Year's weekends, and that is the farthest ahead that they have ever planned. I'm like, oh my goodness. I have my sermon plan ready until May. It has been ready for several months. And when we get into January, February, the beginning of the new year, I'm going to be wanting to get that plan made out for hopefully the rest of the year. I like to have a plan. I like to know what's going on. So I don't really like it if it's completely unknown, how's this supposed to work? Now, one time, several years ago, I went to an assessment center. An assessment center is where they check you out to see if you are suited for a specific task, for a specific job. And at this assessment center, it went for 3 days, three long, rigorous, hard days. And after about 1 day, I went up to one of the leaders and asked, say, can we get a plan as to what's going to be coming next so that we can kind of be prepared for it? I didn't realize that I'd made the biggest mistake I could make. They didn't want us to know what was coming. They wanted to see how we would respond to the things that were just put in front of us all of a sudden. And so I think I had a real big, negative red mark on my sheet of paper because of that question. But, you know, that's just the way I am. I like to have a plan, and I like to know what's going on. And I like to know what's going on and try to be as ready as I can for what's going to be coming, as ready as I possibly can. But even I recognize that there are things in life that you just don't know when they're going to happen or what's going to happen, how that's going to be. You know, when your family's expecting a baby, you know generally when it's going to come, but it's not like you can say, hey, kid, wait until 10 o'clock in the morning. That suits me a lot better. Or, you know, wait till 7 o'clock in the evening. You know, I've got a long day of work. You know, wait until then. No. They don't play along with that. And there are many other things in life that just happen where you have to kind of loosen up from desires for a plan of exactly how things are going to be. And, you know, I'd already mentioned that liking to make plans is something that kind of fits for Advent, because Advent is a time of preparation where we're supposed to be preparing our hearts also for what God is going to be doing, for what he wants to do in us. And yet there's the aspect of Advent that has driven people crazy for 2,000 years. Advent is also looking towards Jesus coming back. And Jesus told us, you don't know when that's going to be. So just be prepared whenever it's going to be. But you know, there are always the people who are trying to calculate out, to try and figure out exactly when Jesus is going to be coming back. This has been going on, from what I read, I think it goes back to like the 4th or 5th century that people started trying to calculate out when Jesus would return. There are some churches that have made that kind of their thing. They calculate out when Jesus is coming. And one date after the next goes past, and they go back to recalculating. A few years ago in the United States, where else? There was a group that, their leader, his name was Harold Camping, and he had already made many calculations as to when Jesus was going to be coming. But in 2011, I believe it was, he was absolutely certain Jesus is coming back on May 21st. And, you know, the people that followed him, they were so convinced of this, they rented buses and were traveling around the country telling people to get ready for the rapture. And so when May 21st came and went, and nobody went, they were like, well, wait a minute. Sat back down, of course, and recalculated. Oh, okay. They said May 21st was really just the deadline. Everybody that was going to be raptured had to be ready by May 21st. That was, so to say, the last day to buy your ticket. And then October 21st, that's when the rapture and the end of the world would both come together. I thought, you know, October 21st, that was my daughter's 8th birthday. What kind of a birthday present is the end of the world? But October 21st came and went, and, well, we're still here. And frankly, I don't know, I guess I have to be careful not to become too cynical, but if somebody calculates out and says, Jesus is coming on that day, then I just relax and know he's not coming on that day. Because Jesus told us himself, nobody knows the day or the time. But in Advent, we are especially reminded that we are supposed to be prepared. We're supposed to be prepared even though we don't know when that's going to be. And in this season leading up to Christmas, we use the time to get presents ready. I don't know, did you use the extra week to get more presents? Or Of course. I have a longer Advent season, which means that the stores can just sell more. I don't know. But, you know, we use this time to get presents ready, to, you know, think about what presents we want to get those, to pack them up nicely for the people that are important to us. It's a time when, yes, we bake the cookies and we have the Christmas parties and all these things, but it's so important that Advent not only be a time for getting the presents and getting the cookies, nothing against those things, but it's so important that we realize that it's a time that we're supposed to think about preparing our hearts. And of course, not only in Advent should we be preparing our hearts, but what exactly does that look like, preparing your heart? You know, the Bible talks a lot about the way that we should live, and it's not a matter of the big, you shouldn't do that, you shouldn't do that. No, it's a matter of God wanting us to be prepared for life, because if we follow his word, life is so much better. And it's also being prepared that whenever he may come back, that we're ready. A lot of people have pointed out that even if Jesus doesn't come back during our lifetime, we don't know when our lifetime will be over with. And so we should always try to be prepared for what's coming. It's something that can accompany us through our entire lives and something that can really enrich our entire lives. Because if we live according to the way that Jesus taught us to, that we find in the New Testament, we find that that makes our lives all the more, yeah, livable. And frankly, I think when we live according to the way that Jesus taught us to, other people find us a lot more livable too. Yeah, Jesus didn't make it easy for those who try to calculate out when he's going to be coming back. In Matthew 24, verse 36, it says, "But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone." Why doesn't he tell us when he's coming back? Why doesn't he give us a bit more of a hint? You know, in the New Testament, we also find many Jesus lists many signs of the end times. He talks about earthquakes, fires, wars, all these things going on. And yes, we are living in the end times. And we have been for 2,000 years. God's clock runs very differently than ours does. But the thing is, God wants us to learn to trust him. That's the big thing. He wants us to learn that we can trust him. He doesn't want us worrying about when Jesus is going to come back. He wants us to trust him in our lives such that we'll always be ready, whenever that might be. And what he does tell us is it's going to be amazing. If you've ever read the book of Revelation, the last book in the Bible, you may have often found yourself thinking, what? What's going on here? You know, you've got seven-headed monsters coming out of the ocean and people on red and white and brown and pale horses riding around, and then there's seven horns and creatures covered with eyes, and it's like, yeah, hello? What is this? Well, let's put it this way. There is a lot of symbolism in the book of Revelation. There's a lot of things that are referring back to other things that especially the first readers will have been familiar with. But there are also some clear statements in the book. And I'd like to read one of those. It's found in Revelation chapter 7. It's the verses 14 through 17. And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." That's quite a promise. No more death. No more hunger. No more thirst. No more sickness. No more darkness. What he's saying is it's going to be even better yet. Better than anything that we have ever known. And, you know, if something better is coming, if you know that it's out there and available, you just don't know when, but you know that it's coming, isn't it worth our while to be prepared for that? Isn't it worth our while to prepare our hearts and to trust in the one who can lead us there and who can give us this new life, this amazing life? But to experience this new world and to experience the promise that he's given us, we need to put our trust in him. We need to listen to him and follow what he tells us. And we will find that it is a path that truly leads to life and a path that truly leads to freedom. We're going to have an opportunity now to sing some more songs, to, yeah, sing about what God has in store for us, and to also celebrate what he's already done for us, to, yeah, get our hearts ready for what he's doing for us that's even better yet.